All right, we've been looking at these verses and reading them over again helps us to keep them in our minds and memorization. Ephesians in chapter 5. And starting at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave, and shall be joined, unto his own wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Go ahead and move over to 1 Peter. Toward the end of your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at this verse quite a bit today too. Verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. That's nice. We can read that again. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. May the Lord bless the reading of his word with us today. On Tuesday evenings, we're taking a look at Christ as being the perfect example for the husband. And we looked at his perfect example, Christ in his position, and how he is an example to the husband there. We've also taken a look at Christ and the price that he paid as the perfect example for the husband. On Lord's Day, we're taking a look at the power and beauty of a wife's submission to her husband. And last time we were together, we took a look at how that it was the power to transform and renew your mind, to be able to think totally different than what the world thinks when it comes to this area of submission. The second thing I want to take a look at beginning today is that the power of submission for a woman, the beauty and power of submission is to place her husband in the hands of God, to be able to place her husband right into the very hands of God. I want you to consider that verse that we saw there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Abraham and Sarah were husband and wife, yet Abraham and Sarah were also brother and sister. Sarah had the same father as Abraham, but did not have the same mother. So they were half brothers, half sisters, you might say. And they were married. You say, well, isn't that wrong? The law that God gave against that actually came later. This is in the book of Genesis. The story takes place in the book of Genesis. And so they were married, Abraham and Sarah. Abraham recognized that Sarah, his wife, was a very beautiful woman. And as they would travel, there would be kings of different lands that were around who would want to be with Sarah, who would want to take Sarah for themselves. And Abraham is concerned. If they want Sarah, my wife, who is a beautiful woman, they're going to kill me so they can have her. So Abraham goes to his wife and he says, if anybody asks you our relation, tell them that we're brother, sister, but don't tell them that we're husband, wife. Okay? Do you think Sarah is a bit scared? I think so. And you have over there in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 20, Abraham, Sarah, and Abimelech. Abimelech's a king. And he sets eyes on Sarah, and he gets a hold of Sarah, and he brings Sarah to the palace. And he asks Sarah, what's your relationship between you and that man? Oh, we're brothers and sisters. She didn't say we're husband and wife. Now, she wasn't lying. She was following in what her husband told her to do. She was submissive to what he said. But she was telling a half-truth. However, she remained submissive to what Abraham said. What ends up happening is that Abimelech has a dream, and God begins to talk to Abimelech in his dream. We're going to get there in just a second. With that in mind, go over here to this 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. We started looking at this last time. The idea of afraid comes from the Greek word phobos, which is fear, where we get our English word fear from. And so the idea of afraid is pretty self-explanatory, but the word amazement actually comes from the idea of being fearful with terror, okay? A fear that is with terror. And many women, that's exactly how they feel when they think about submission to their husbands. A fear with terror. It could be that God is zeroing in exactly on a woman's greatest fear, and that is to submit herself to her husband, because he's saying it's a fear with terror. How is Sarah feeling at this moment? She's afraid, but she's being submissive to her husband. But as you take a look at this verse in 1 Peter, you're recognizing that God sees, wives, that this is an area that scares you. God sees it as a fearful area that is for you. However, he still says to submit, even though it's scary. A lot of people think that a wife submitting to her husband is for wives who don't know any better. It's for wimps. They're for wives who just want to be controlled. Did you know that if you try to be submissive to your husband, you're going to probably encounter fear, and a fear that is with terror? And you'll soon discover that submitting to your husband is not something that is for wimps. Submission is not for wimps. Submission is for strong, charactered women who know what it is that I'm going to trust God to speak through him. I'm going to trust God in this area because God asks me to be submissive to him and to obey him. Then that's exactly what I'm going to do. A lot of women, when they look at their husbands, they say things such as this: who knows what my husband is going to do next? Well, God does, thankfully for that. But they're scared. What is my husband going to do next? Other things that women say is, that man, if I did everything he asked, my life would be a mess. You ever felt like that, ladies? That's a lot of times how women feel when it comes to this idea of being submissive. And yet, when a woman learns how to be submissive to her husband in obedience to the word of God, she will tend to look back upon that and say, why was I afraid of that? Why is that something that scared me, to be submissive to him? Following in his trail and allowing him to be the lead and allowing him to protect me, allowing him to guide me, allowing him to be that one who shelters me and gives me that safety, you know, so I'm not the one who's braving the wind out in front. You ever seen those birds that fly in a V like this? And the one in the front is the one who's cutting the wind. And the other ones, they're still flying, but they can fly in the wake, as it were, of the first one. It makes it a little bit easier. And then they rotate off, and you see how they rotate off. The husband's like the one in the front, and he's cutting the wind. He's making the trail so that the wife will be able to have that security within the home, because it's the husband's responsibility to provide that security for her, for his wife. Go back to Abraham and Sarah. She's submissive. Abimelech has her. What is she going to do? She stays submissive, and God begins to speak to Abimelech in a dream. And what does he say in Genesis in chapter 20 and verse 3? But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Abimelech gets scared. And Abimelech begins to have this conversation with God while inside of his dream and begins to say, I did this in my innocency. I had no idea that she was associated with another man. She was married to another man. Did she not say, I am his sister? And God says, for that reason, I held you back from touching her. And God tells Abimelech, as it were, he puts his finger right in Abimelech's chest and says, if you don't give that woman back to her husband, you and your family are just as good as dead. I will kill you. Abimelech is scared. But what happened? This is what I want you to learn from the story. Sarah was submissive to her husband, even when her husband made a mistake. And because of her submissive spirit, God took her side and protected her so that God could deal with her husband, Abraham. And Abraham had something to work with. You notice Sarah's not jumping up and saying, you know what, you're only telling a half-truth, and really letting Abraham. She's not doing that. She's saying, God put him in the lead. I'm going to let him be in the lead. And because he's in the lead, I'm going to let God directly deal with him. You know what it means to submit? It means to duck so that God can let your husband have it when he needs to have it. Because if you let your husband have it, then it's very possible God won't let him have it. When your husband needs to learn something and you duck, you're leaving him in God's hands, and that's the best place you can leave him. God can deal with him. You might say, well, God doesn't deal with him the way I want him to be dealt with. Well, God's a lot wiser than you are. God's probably going to take his time in working with him, but God's work is thorough. God's work is true. God's work is pure. And you know what? The power of a wife's submission is to be able to leave her husband right in God's hands. A woman could ask, say, well, you know, what if he asks me to to do this? And she names some sort of outlandish something, right, after that. What if he asks me to jump off the Empire State Building or something like that? Well, first of all, you should have seen that coming from marrying another guy. But most women who are submissive to their husbands are going to find such a thing rare, are going to find such a thing uncommon in a household. Usually, a man's reaction to a wife's submission, if he's worth his weight in salt, is, what can I do for you? You know, honey, you are a wonderful person, and I really appreciate that you're thoughtful to me all of the time, and it creates within me a desire to want to do something for you. Usually, that's what's in the heart of a man who's worth his weight in salt because of her submissiveness. It speaks volumes when she is submissive. Why? Because that was God's design. Now, I don't believe in blind, unquestioned obedience. That can be dangerous. I don't believe in that she's just going to blindly and unquestioningly just do everything he says. It's important for her to be able to challenge him every once in a while on something. It's important for her to be able to bring up the issues or concerns that she has within her heart about a certain something. But it's important for her to do it in a meek and a quiet spirit. And it's important for him to respond in the same type of meekness and quiet spirit, so that the conversation is not one that is combative, but rather one that communicates, we're on the same team, let's talk this over. Okay? There's a big difference between a husband and wife being combative, and no, you shouldn't do that, and you're telling us you're crazy, and all that kind of stuff. Get alongside, to be able to sit alongside, and to discuss maybe your disagreements. Okay, so I don't believe that submission, as far as the Bible is concerned, is some sort of blind, unquestioned obedience. However, to be able to bring up those concerns and to work as a team to be able to come to a conclusion. There was a wife, I'm going to try to speed through this very quickly. There was a wife who saw her husband about ready to go into a business deal, and it was a bad business deal, and it would have been a very bad business decision. So she jumped in. And she saved the business. She didn't let him do what she felt was wrong. And she was very happy about the fact that she told a preacher, if it wasn't for me, and it wasn't for me jumping in, if I would have just stayed submissive, the whole business would have crashed. But I wasn't submissive. I put my foot down. And the preacher just nodded his head. Okay. Time went on. And she discovered that God was punishing him, dealing with him, for hidden sin in bringing his business down. And because she stepped in and made a different decision, it gave him the money to leave her and go with the other woman. This is what I'm talking about, being able to put your husband right into the hands of God. It's going to take faith. It's going to take confidence. It's going to take courage. It's not for wimps, but to be able to say, you know, from the best of my ability, I want to leave my husband in the hands of God, and I'm going to keep praying for him that God will be able to lead him and guide him in the way that is correct and God-honoring and God-fearing, and that in our marriage, my submission will be that which will communicate to a world the submission that an assembly has to Christ himself. We are like the bride of Christ, and there's no assembly there shouldn't be any assembly who wants to contradict God and God's word and contradict the Lord Jesus Christ and fight back. A true-hearted assembly that will bring glory and honor to God knows what it is to say, we're going to submit what we want into the hands of what God wants. Into the hands of what God wants. You know, not too long ago, we were talking about instruments. Why don't we have instruments here in the meeting? We were talking about that straight out of the Bible. My dad did a 45-minute message on that. And I'm just going to say this quickly and move on and close. I'll be the first one to raise my hand in here and say, I'd love to have instruments in this building. I love instruments. It's what I want in here. That would be fantastic as far as I'm concerned. But when it comes to the order of God's assembly, it shouldn't be fashioned and molded around what I want and what I like. I need to be able to take what I want and what I like and be able to give it up and say, Lord, God knows better. This is the way he wants it. And then if it's the way he wants it, this is what I'm going to do. I will be in subjection to what he says. Subjection isn't for wimps. To be submissive to a husband is actually for strong-charactered women. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we're grateful for the word of God, and we thank thee that it can show us the difference between right and wrong as we would study its pages. We pray, Lord, that we will have a love for it and a respect for it, and that we may be able to implement it in our lives and bring glory to thee in our lives through its obedience. We think, Lord, of this great truth of submission, and as we would consider these thoughts, the power of a wife's submission to change the way she thinks, and the power of a wife's submission to be able to put her husband into thine hands. These are very powerful things, but we only scratch the surface. We know that there's so much more. Thou dost have a reason why. Thou dost ask wives to be submissive. We also pray for those of us as husbands, as we would seek to be the head of our home. Help us to do it in a godly fashion, realizing that we too are submissive to the word of God. We too must be submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have the position of all authority, but every decision that we make, we will be accountable for against the word of God. We pray, Lord, that this may be that which will help us to lead our homes in a God-fearing way, that God may be the center of our homes and of our lives. We put all this in thy hands, praying for thy blessing in the remainder of this day, in thy son's name. Amen.